The 16th story, An Ungrateful Son. Remember that King David had many sons, and the favorite son of all was Absalom. His father loved him very much, and in all Israel no young man was so praised for his beauty as he. He had long, beautiful hair, which grew so heavy that it had to be cut, although it was not the custom to cut the hair in those days. Absalom had also a lovely sister named Tamar, and one day she was cruelly wronged by an older brother, another of David's sons, whose name was Amnon. When Absalom heard of this, he swore that he would be revenged. So he waited for a chance to kill Amnon, and by the chance came. They were shearing the sheep on Absalom's farm, and as was the custom, a great feast had been prepared for the shepherds. Absalom invited all his brothers and the king, his father, to come to the feast. David did not go, but all the princes set out for Absalom's farm to do the sheep shearing. In the afternoon, a very frightened and excited messenger dashed into David's presence, crying, "News, my lord and king, news! Absalom has slain all his brothers. Not one remaineth." The king cried out in grief and horror at the tidings which the man had brought, and all who surrounded him were dumb with fear and amazement. In a moment more, however, the watchman at the city gate came running and said, "Let not my lord the king grieve. It is only Amnon who is dead. He and Absalom have long been bitter enemies. Let not the king think that all his sons are slain. It is only Amnon. See, yonder they come." They followed the watchman to the gate, and sure enough, there came the king's sons, riding down the long hill on the Bethoron road. Soon they came to the gate, every man upon his mule, hastening as though they were pursued by an enemy, all weeping and lamenting. All were there except Amnon, who was dead, and Absalom, who dared not come. He had fled for his life to the court of his grandfather, the king of Geshur. But when Absalom realized that on account of the thing he had done he could not come home again, he grew very homesick. He stayed at his grandfather's court for 3 years, all the while filled with a terrible longing to go home. And David's yearning for the son he loved so much was just as great, but he could not bring him back without putting him to death, for it was against the law. Joab, David's captain, saw how David grieved for his son, and he knew also that Absalom was mourning because he could not come home. Absalom knew, and so did Joab, that if ever a man deserved death, it was Amnon. But he forgot this: "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." At last Joab went to a wise woman who lived in Tekoa, and said to her, "Go you to the king and say to him that which I bid you." A few days later the woman went to David and told him she was a widow who had had 2 sons, but they quarreled and one of them had killed the other. Now all her family clamored for the death of the other son, and he was all she had. She knew that according to the law he should die, but she said, "Break the law, O king, and let the blame be on me and on my father's house, not on the king and his throne." David promised her it should be so, and said, "If anyone trouble you further, bring him to me. Swear, O king, that the avenger may not come and kill my son. As the Lord liveth, not a hair of his head shall fall." Then said the woman, "O king, my trouble is not mine, it is thine. It was your dear son Absalom who slew his brother. But to kill Absalom will not bring Amnon back. The dead cannot be brought back any more than water that has been spilled upon the ground can be gathered up. Amnon is dead, but Absalom is only banished. You have said you would save my son, then pardon your own." So the king forgave Absalom and let him come home. But of all the base, wicked, ungrateful sons a man ever had, Absalom was the worst, and of all the unhappy fathers, David was the most wretched. When Absalom returned home, although since Amnon's death he was the oldest son, he began to fear that his father would make his youngest brother, Solomon, king. So he made up his mind that he would take his father's throne away from him. He sought out all David's enemies and made friends with them. He stood day after day at the city gate where the people passed in and out, and whenever a man came who had a suit he was carrying to the king for judgment, Absalom would say to him, "If only I were king instead of my father, I would see that every man got justice." In this way he stole the hearts and won the support of the men of Israel away from the king, his father. One day a messenger came to David, saying, "Have an eye to thy son Absalom. The hearts of the men of Israel are forsaking thee and are following after Absalom." David was amazed at this news. He had so loved his son, and he could not believe that the messenger spoke truly, but he was at last convinced that it was so. Then he called his court and his servants about him and said, "Arise, let us flee. None of us shall escape Absalom if we remain. Let us hasten, lest he overtake and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of his sword." David's faithful followers said they would do whatever he wished. So the king went forth and all his household after him. David's heart was broken when he thought of the conduct of his ungrateful son. He went barefoot and covered his head and wept as he walked up the Mount of Olives, and all who followed covered their heads and wept also. As they hurried along, fleeing from Jerusalem and the treachery of Absalom, they passed through a little village called Behurun. There lived in this place a man who was a bitter enemy to David. His name was Shimei, and he was of a family of the house of Saul. He had been faithful to Saul, had fought for him and for Ishbael his son, but after the murder of Ishbael, who was the last of Saul's sons, Shimei had found himself poor and disgraced and disappointed. He hated David with a deep and bitter hatred. When he heard of the rebellion of Absalom, he rejoiced, and when the king and his companions passed his house, weary and weeping and fleeing for their lives, he got up on the side of the hill with his hands full of stones and threw them at David and his people. Shimei was of the tribe of Benjamin, the same tribe to which Saul belonged. Like David, he also had been skillful in his youth in the use of a sling. So now when he threw stones at the king, his aim was good and the stone struck him. And he cursed the king also and said, "Be gone, you man of blood! The Lord has now brought upon you the blood of the house of Saul, whose throne you stole. Now the Lord has taken your kingdom and given it to Absalom. You are getting just what you deserve. You are a man of blood." Abishai, Joab's brother who was with David, said, "Let me go and kill him, O king." "Nay," said David, "if the Lord hath told him to curse David, let him curse. After all, this man has reason to be mine enemy. But my son, who seeks my life, has none. Let him curse on. Perhaps the Lord will look on my affliction and change the curses to blessings." So David and his men went their way, David grieving all the time because his son, whom he loved, had betrayed him. As is usually the way whenever there is a change of government, many of the men of David's court who had served him and had been his friends now turned against him and flocked after his son. The first of them to go was Hushai, who had been David's counselor. When Hushai presented himself before Absalom, he bowed low and said, "Long live the king." "How is this?" said Absalom. "Was not my father thy friend? And is this thy love for thy friend? Why hast thou not gone with the king?" "Whomever the Lord and the people of Israel choose for their king is my friend," said Hushai. "I served David when he was king. Now I will serve you." Now, although Absalom had succeeded in driving his father out of Jerusalem, he knew that David still had many loyal friends and might return with a large army and be so powerful that he could not hold the throne he had taken. So he called his followers together to decide what to do next. There was among his advisors a very wise man. He was so wise that men said that his words were as the words of God. This man was Ahithophel. Absalom sent for him and said, "Tell me what to do now." Ahithophel replied, "This is the thing to do. I will take 12,000 men and pursue David this very night. I will come upon him suddenly when he is tired and discouraged, and those who have gone with him are afraid. I will make them to flee and leave him. Then I will smite the king only and kill him. You shall then be the king in peace." This advice pleased Absalom and his men well, but Hushai, who had been David's minister, said, "It is not good advice that Ahithophel has given thee. Thou knowest thy father and his men. They are mighty warriors. Instead of being weak and afraid, they are as angry as a bear that has been robbed of her young. When you go forth to fight him, suppose he should come out and smite you. Then all these men who follow you will flee and go with David, and the people will say, 'There is great slaughter in Absalom's army.' Do not go in haste. Wait a little till you have gathered together an army which shall number as many soldiers as the sands of the seashore. Then do you lead them yourself. We will come upon David as quietly as the dew comes upon the grass. And of all the men who are with him, there will be not one left." Then said Absalom, "The advice of Hushai is better than that of Ahithophel. I will take his advice." This pleased Hushai very much, for you know he was really David's friend, and had gone with Absalom's army only that he might know what they were doing, and then tell the king. He called to him Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, and laid the matter before them. Then he hurried a messenger off to David to carry the news of Absalom's intentions to him. The king received the news calmly. He had fought too many battles to be disturbed about one more. Nothing was great enough to overbalance the fact that the son he loved was both ungrateful and false. He was heartbroken when he thought of Absalom, whom he had forgiven and saved from the punishment he deserved and brought back home again, only to be driven from his throne and persecuted as a reward. David divided his army into three parts. One was commanded by Joab, one by Abishai, the third by Ittai. Before they started out to the battle, David called his three captains to him and said, "For my sake, deal gently with the young man Absalom." They met Absalom's army and fell to fighting. Absalom was defeated. He fled with what was left of his army in great disorder, trying to escape from David's soldiers. Absalom rode into a thick forest. As the mule which bore him ran under the low boughs of a tree, his long hair became tangled in the branches. He could not loosen it. The mule ran on and left him hanging by the hair of his head in the tree. As Joab was gathering his soldiers together after the battle, someone came running to him and said, "Behold, I saw Absalom hanging by the hair of his head in an oak tree in the forest." "You saw him? Why then did you not kill him? I would have given you 10 pieces of silver." "Not for 1,000 pieces of silver would I lay hands on the king's son. I heard what the king said to you. Deal gently with the young man Absalom for my sake." But Joab would not listen to him. He went out into the forest where he saw Absalom hanging in the tree, just as the messenger had said. He took his spear and thrust it through Absalom's heart. David sat by the gate. On the wall above, a watchman was stationed who gave him news of the battle. Finally, a man came running and said, "All is well. Blessed be the Lord who hath delivered up the men who raised their hands against the king." But David said only, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" "There was a great tumult as I came away, O king, but I learnt not what it was." Then another man came running and said, "All is well." And again the king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" Then said the messenger, "May all the king's enemies be as Absalom is." Then David knew that Absalom was dead. He rose up from his seat and went up to the chamber over the gate, where he wept bitterly for his son. And as he walked along, they heard him crying, "Would God I had died instead of thee, O Absalom, my son!"